Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are in the room. And for those that will be listening on other devices and later on the recording. Sabbath blessing, everyone.
Sorry,
Brother
I didn't
Dave,
realize
that's
time.
okay. While you were singing, my eyes were closed. So you maybe didn't see because you were singing and I was actually with the song in my mind and my eyes were closed and I didn't even realize the time. But have a blessing, everyone, on this beautiful sunny Saturday on my side on this April 6, 2024. This is our review of our chapter 79 entitled It Is Finished, of our part 4 of our lesson 405. Welcome, dear ones, and we are going to ask our dear brother to once more sing the Tiny Tots hymn of the theme of our study entitled Give of Your Best to the Master. Okay, dear brother.
Give of your best to the Master, give of the strength of your youth, throw your soul's fresh glowing ardor into the battle for truth. Jesus has set the example, dauntless was he, young and brave. Give him your loyal devotion, give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the Master, give of the strength of your youth, clad in salvation's full armor, join in the battle for truth. Give of your best to the Master, give him first place in your heart, give him first place in your service, consecrate every part. Give unto you will be given, God his beloved Son gave. Gratefully seeking to serve him, give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the Master, give of the strength of your youth, dressed in salvation's full armor, join in the battle for truth. Give of your best to the Master, naught else is worthy his love. He gave himself for your ransom, gave up his glory above. Laid down his life without murmur, you from sin's ruin to save. Give him your heart's adoration, give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the Master, give of the strength of your youth, clad in salvation's full armor, join in the battle for truth.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother, and welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. We're going to ask the little tiny tot by the help of parents or elder siblings to open the review section with prayer. May you mute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessing, everybody. Thank you, God, for the Sabbath day. Please have the Sabbath day to keep the holy. Next day, Sabbath night, for do all thy work. And the seventh day, the Sabbath of the Lord. Pray for the people that's not in the Sabbath at the Sabbath, and Jesus, and please take the Sabbath with them and watch my videos. Let me pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, dear ones, this is the time we're going to hear all the blessings that the little one has been in their household, with family, or even at their school. If you would like to be able to share what blessing you have been for mommy and daddy, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Hello, blessings and all. For today's mother's helpers and mommy and daddy's little blessing, I'd like to highlight Haley and Emma for always being willing to help. They help to clean up their areas, such as like whenever they eat dinner or a snack, to eat, clean up the table or the area which they have. Sometimes it takes a little bit reminder, but sometimes it's prompted just by having to repeat it over and over. So I thank God for their ability to be able to want to help. And we pray that they continue to grow in this way by God's grace and love and mercy. Amen.
Okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. Is there any other family members that would like to share? Otherwise, we are going to continue in our study. It's story times, little ones. So let's have our listening ears for our dear brother Faith, who will be the one to review our section of part 3 of the chapter 17 entitled The Betrayal and Arrest in our storybook, The Story About Jesus.
All right, good morning. The Bible verses for our lessons are taken from the book of Luke, chapter 22. And Matthew 26, and Mark 14, and John 16 and 18. In Luke 22:51, and Jesus answered and said, "Suffer ye thus far," and he touched his ear and healed him. Then said Jesus unto him, let me enlarge this a tad, I've got my magnifying glass up here. Then said Jesus unto him, "Put up thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword or use the sword will perish with the sword or will die with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" A legion. I think that's between 1,000 and 5,000 soldiers. That's a lot. Now multiply that by 12. It's either 12,000 or between 12,000 and 60,000 angels. Now, what do you think they could do to the mob that was trying to arrest Jesus if he had not wanted to be arrested? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled? For thus it must be. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Are ye come out against a thief with swords and with staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and ye took me not, but the scriptures must be fulfilled." Then said Jesus unto Peter, "Put up your sword into it, it's the sheath. Cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that we shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me." When Jesus saw what was done, he released his hands, though held firmly by the Roman soldiers, and saying, "Suffer ye thus far," Luke 21:51. In other words, that's enough. He touched the wounded ear, and it was instantly made whole or healed. Can you imagine having your ear cut off and then put right back on? I imagine the pain of having it cut off stopped instantly when Jesus touched his ear and healed it. He touched the wounded ear and it was instantly made whole. He then said to Peter, put up again thy sword into his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray my Father to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? Matthew 26:52-54. The cup which my Father hath given me to drink, given me, shall I not drink it? When that speaks of a cup, it was the suffering that Jesus was about to endure that the Father gave him. Someday he'll explain that why. Christ then turned to the chief priests and the captains of the temple who were with the mob and said, are ye come out against a thief with swords and with staves to take me? Next slide. Back up on there you go. I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and ye took me not. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. And that's in Mark 48:49. The disciples were offended when they saw that the Savior had made no effort to deliver himself from his enemies. They blamed him for not doing so. They could not understand his submission to the mob, and terror-stricken, they forsook him and fled. They said, let's get out of here. Jesus had foretold this desertion by the fact that they would desert him and leave. Behold, he had said, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. And that's John 16:32. And I think that's taken from Story of Jesus, pages 109 and 110. Now we'll go.
Amen. So next Sabbath, we will be continuing on part 4 of our lesson entitled Betrayal and Arrest in a Tiny Tot Lesson Book, The Story About Jesus, and that will take place April 13, 2024. And now we'll hand it back to our dear brother for the review question.
What happened when he touched the wounded ear?
It was instantly made whole.
Instantly healed. You know, I'll bet that man didn't even have a scar. Because when Jesus does things, he does them right. How did disciples feel when they saw Jesus arrested?
The answer to question 2 is the disciples were offended.
They were offended. How could they be offended? They thought Jesus would protect himself. And he didn't do it. And they must have felt, man, he let us down. Surely I thought he would disappear from the, like he did in the past, you know, when they took him up on the mountain to throw him down. Or when they went to stone him in times past, he just disappeared and walked away from them. Didn't do it this time, and they were offended. What did they do after?
The answer for number 3, they forsook him and fled.
They forsook him, or they left him and fled. He said that it would happen, and they unfortunately fulfilled his prediction. All right. Thank you for participating. Back to you, Rose.
Thank you so much, dear brother. Welcome to all the precious family that are just joining us. This is the time we're going to review our topic, Mammons of the Bible, and our dear brother, Josh, will be able to share. But before we begin our next lesson, which is number two, this will end our lesson one with the woman at the well, and we are leaving the reviews of all the topics that we had touched upon, and now I'm going to hand it to our dear brother.
Sad blessings, everyone. And here today, we come to the end of lesson one, a woman at a well review. We read through lessons 1 to 6. It's the faith, 1, the favor, 2, living water, 3, give me this water, 4, come, 5, a harvest, and 6, good seed sown. In the middle, it says God classified a man in his own family. How are the family humans different from the mammals? Well, as most mammals are. Continuing. Which feature of a man is the most unique? And imagine how God formed man with his own fingers. While mammals have many similar features, they are also very different. Man was to be a new creation. And now, we start a new one, which is number 2. And here is the mammals review. Our Bible verse is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 4, King James Version, lesson 2, teaches to pray. And verses 9 to 15 say, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. If ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, he will your Father forgive your trespasses. Okay. It says, we search the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer was given to his disciples to be a pattern for prayer. As a disciple of Christ, we should know its meaning so we do not repeat it as a meaningless rite, but with full understanding. Prayer outline is first 3 parts. God and his glory. 1, God's name. 2, God's kingdom. 3, God's will. These petitions are connected, for God's name must be hallowed before his kingdom can come. His kingdom must be established before his will can be done, in earth as it is, and as it's in heaven. Anyway, the Lord's Prayer was twice given by our Savior, first to the multitude in the Sermon on the Mount, and again some months later to the disciples alone. The hearts of the listening disciples were deeply moved. They had marked how often he spent long hours in solitude and communion with his Father. His days were passed in ministry to the crowds that pressed upon him, and in unveiling the treacherous sophistry of the rabbis, and this incessant labor often left him so utterly weary that his mother and brothers and even his disciples feared. That his life would be sacrificed. But as he returned from the hours of prayer that closed the toilsome day, they marked the look of peace upon his face, the sense of refreshment that seemed to pervade his presence. It was from hours spent with God that he came forth, morning by morning, to bring the light of heaven to men. The disciples had come to connect his hours of prayer with the power of his words and works. Now, as they listened to his supplication, their hearts were awed and humbled. As he ceased praying, it was with a conviction of their own deep need that they exclaimed, "Lord, teach us to pray." Luke 11:1. The Mount of Blessings, pages 102 to 103. The Lord's Prayer was given as a pattern or model that we know how to pray. The Lord's Prayer is divided up like the Ten Commandments between things that have to do with God and things that have to do with man. The last four parts have to do with human beings and their needs. Thus, the Lord's Prayer contains seven separate petitions. Seven stands for completeness and perfection in the Bible. And the prayer outline continued. Second four parts, our needs and our necessities. Four, daily bread, the necessities of life. Five, daily forgiveness. Six, daily leadership or guidance. And seven, daily deliverance. Six of the seven petitions of the Lord's Prayer are for spiritual blessings, and only one deals with our physical needs. This shows the importance of the spiritual over the physical. When you pray, say, our sonship or father or love, Luke 11:2. Jesus teaches us to call his father our father. The very first step in approaching God is to know and believe the love that he has to us. In calling God our father, we recognize all of his children as our brethren. You will rejoice to do any act, however humble, that will tend to his glory or to the well-being of your kindred. The Mount of Blessings, pages 103 to 106, which art in heaven, Matthew 6:9. God is in heaven and thou upon earth, Ecclesiastes 5:2. Realizing this helps us to be aware of his majesty and glory and have a spirit of reverence and humility in our hearts. Hallowed be thy name, Matthew 6:9. This means to treat God's name different from all other names and to give it a position which is special. To hallow the name of the Lord requires that the words in which we speak of a supreme being be uttered with reverence. Holy and reverent is his name, Psalm 111:9. We are never in any manner to treat lightly the titles or appellations of the deity. In prayer, we enter the audience chamber of the Most High, and we should come before him with holy awe. The angels veil their faces in his presence. The cherubim and the bright and holy seraphim approach his throne with solemn reverence. How much more should we, finite, sinful beings, come in a reverent manner before the Lord, our Maker? The Mount of Blessings, page 106. We also hallow his name by living our Christ-like life. Thy kingdom come, Matthew 6:10. God is our Father who loves and cares for us as his children. He is also the great King of the universe. The interests of his kingdom are our interests, and we are to work for its upbuilding. The Mount of Blessings, page 107. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Matthew 6:10. The will of God is expressed in the precepts of his holy law, and the principles of this law are the principles of heaven. The angels of heaven attain unto no higher knowledge than to know the will of God, and to do his will is the highest service that can engage their powers. The Mount of Blessing, page 109. In their ministry, the angels are not as servants, but as sons. There is perfect unity between them and their Creator. Obedience is to them no drudgery. Love for God makes their service a joy. So in every soul wherein Christ is the hope of glory dwells, his words are re-echoed. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Psalm 48. The Mount of Blessing, page 109. The petition, thy will be done in earth as is in heaven, is a prayer that the reign of evil on this earth may be ended, that sin may be forever destroyed, and the kingdom of righteousness be established. Then in earth as in heaven will be fulfilled all the good pleasure of his goodness. 2 Thessalonians 1:11, the Mount of Blessing, page 110. this diagram of a white-tailed deer. Scientific name is Odocoileus virginiensis. The males have large pointed antlers, and in this diagram of the female, it has a grayish-brown coat or redder in some time. The large ears, white rings around eyes, a black nose, a white throat, a white belly, hooked feet, and a long tail with a white tip, which is hence why their name is called. There were three kinds of deer in the Bible lands. They were the red deer, the fallow deer, and the roe deer. Deer hunted and killed and used for food by man. God never intended his creatures to be used in this way. He would rather man be merciful to the animals. Many years ago, people on the American frontier used deer hides, known as buckskins, as a type of money. This is why you sometimes hear people call a dollar bill a buck. The red deer was a forest mammal and was protected as royal game. An adult stands about 4 to 5 feet, or 1.2 to 1.5 meters at the shoulders. It had spreading antlers with 10 or more points, which were shed each year, but they grow again the next year. Those people who have self-control are truly royal. Like the deer losing its antlers, the righteous may meet with earthly loss for a while, but a time of the restoration of all things will come to them if they meekly wait. As the deer regrow their majestic antlers, so he will beautify the meek with salvation. Psalm 149:4. In Psalm 42:1 it says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. The word pant can mean to bray or yearn for. Often, if there is a shortage of water, a stag or hart or male deer can be heard braying loudly for water. One stag who was in captivity accidentally was not given water for 8 days. He began to call and did not stop until water was mercifully given. It would be well if we would pant after the water of life like the hart or stag or male deer. Two new times that a deer can be extremely thirsty are, one, when running from danger, and two, when fighting. This can remind us how Christians can develop a thirst for God's word when they, one, flee from youthful lusts, and two, when they resist the devil in spiritual combat or war. 2 Timothy 2:22, James 4:7. Here are pictures of two kinds of elephants, the Asian elephant and the African elephant. On the diagram of the African elephant, it says ears are larger, cover the shoulder, and are the general shape of the African continent. And the head is single dome with one hump. The trunk has two fingers or lobes of flesh. The back feet have three toes showing. The height is tallest at the shoulder, and this elephant weight is more at up to 13,000 pounds. Now, on the diagram of the Asian elephant, the ears are smaller, more rounded, and do not cover the shoulders. The head is double domed with two humps. The trunk has one finger or lobe of flesh for grasping. The back feet has four toenails showing. The hide is tossed at the arch of the back. And this elephant's weight is less at up to 11,000 pounds. The elephant can carry great weight because of its short, heavy legs. Prayer helps support the Christian during heavy trials. It says here, the elephant's tusks are really large teeth, or incisors. And the elephants walk on their toes. The large pads in the foot help cushion it. And plus is the reason why when you hear them walking, they don't make a noise. They're perfect for walking quietly. Anyway, A mother elephant will comfort her calf by stroking it with her tongue. Even with such large feet, an elephant can walk very quietly. Jesus has supplied the elephant's needs by giving them intelligence and instincts. He supplied the needs of a multitude, and he will take just as good care of us, too. The elephant's digestive system only digests half of the food it eats. Maybe that is why they eat twice the amount of food their body needs. Jesus was careful not to waste any fragments of the food and have them gathered up. Continue our referencing for the mammals of the Bible of our lesson. Review chapter 5, the Lord's Prayer. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Matthew 6:9. The Lord's Prayer was twice given by our Savior. First to the multitude in the Sermon on the Mount, and again some months later to the disciples alone. The disciples had been for a short time absent from their work. When on their return, they found him absorbed in communion with God. Even unconscious of their presence, he continued praying aloud. The Savior's face was irradiated with a celestial brightness. He seemed to be in the very presence of the unseen, and there was a living power in his words as the one who spoke with God. God bless him, page 102, paragraph 1. The hearts of the listening disciples were deeply moved. They had marked how often he spent long hours in solitude and communion with his Father. His days were past, and he managed to lead to the crowds that fed him on him, and in unveiling the treacherous sophistry of the rabbis. And this incessant labor often left him so utterly weary that his mother and brothers, and even his disciples, had feared that his life would be sacrificed. And so, but he returned from the hour of the prayer that was before the day, and marked the looks of peace upon his face. The sense of refreshment began to pervade his presence. So some hours spent with God that he came forth morning by morning to bring the light of heaven to men. The disciples had come to connect his hours with prayer with the power of his words and works. Now as they listened to his supplication, their hearts were awed and humbled as he ceased praying. It was with a conviction of their own deep need that they exclaimed, Lord, teach us to pray. Luke 11:1. Mount of Blessings, page 102, paragraph 2. Jesus gives them no new form of prayer. That which he has before taught them, he repeats, as if he would say, you need to understand why I've already given. It has a depth of meaning you have not yet fathomed. Mount of Blessings, pages 103, paragraph 1. The Savior does not, however, restrict us to the use of these exact words. As one with humanity, he presents his own ideal of prayer. Words so simple that they may be adopted by the little child, yet so comprehensive that their significance can never be fully grasped by the greatest minds. We are taught to come to God with our tribute of thanksgiving, to make known our wants, to confess our sins, and to claim his mercy in accordance with his promise. Mount of Blessing, page 103, paragraph 2. Here review two or three bonus questions. Question 1 is, what does Matthew 6:9 mean? And 2, tell what Matthew 6:10 means. And 3, what does reverence mean? Now I'll turn the mic back to Mom.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear Brother Josh. Welcome to all of the dear brethren that are just coming in. And remember, little ones, give of your best to the Master. Give of the strength of your youth. Glad in salvation, full armor. Joining the battle for truth. Our opening song is a hymn entitled, I Will Early Seek the Savior, and you can find it in number 71. If you would like to join us to sing the hymn, dear ones, you may unmute your mic to do so. I will early seek the Savior, Awuna imishte. I will follow in his footsteps. I will walk the narrow way. For he loves me, yes, he loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know. Jesus loves me, died to save me. This is why I love him so. I will hasten where he bids me. I am not too young to go. And the pathway he, where he leads me, not too young his will I know. For he loves me, yes, he loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know. Jesus loves me, died to save me. This is why I love him so.
Boy. He is standing at the doorway of exit from every sin. I will knock, for he has promised he will hear and let me in. For he loves me, yes, he loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know. Jesus loves me, died to save me. This is why I love him so.
Amen. Praise the Lord. If anyone of the elder sibling, Mami Sodari, so even one of our guests would like to be able to open our family review section with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Have a blessing, everybody. Thank you, God, for waking us up this morning. And please protect us. Please protect me. And please protect the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Like they shall I lay with the Sabbath day at the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, individual liberty and justice for all. And please protect the word that we're going to learn. And please protect everybody that's here that's not here. They can come back this Sabbath in Jesus' name, pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our opening scripture for our review lesson is taken from the Sunlight Sound Studio Memory Verse CD in the section God's Love, taken from Romans 6, verse 23, King James word margin.
For the wages of sin, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, eternal life receive. In Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. So what have we learned and ways we have grown this week, dear ones? We are going to take a few minutes to be able to reread our Sabbath lesson from last Sabbath. And if there's anything that you would like to share, dear ones, you can hold it at the end of our reading. This is our part 4. It is finished of our lesson book, The Desire Ages. Who would like to take the first one, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
The Desire.
Go ahead there, Joshi.
The Desire of Ages, page 762. Continuing, God's love has been expressed in his justice. It is no less than in his mercy. Justice is the foundation of his throne and the fruit of his love. It had been Satan's purpose to divorce mercy from truth and justice. He sought to prove that the righteousness of God's law is an enemy to peace. But Christ shows that in God's plan they are indissolubly joined together. The one cannot exist without the other. Next slide, please.
Continuing. The Desire of Ages, page 762. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Psalm 85, verse 10. Desire of Ages, 762, paragraph 3. By his life and his death, Christ proved that God's justice did not destroy his mercy, but that sin could be forgiven, and that the law is righteous and can be perfectly obeyed. Satan's charges were refuted. God had given man unmistakable evidence of his love. Desire of Ages, page 762, paragraph 4.
Desire of Ages, page 762. Another deception was now to be brought forward. Satan declared that mercy destroyed justice, that the death of Christ abrogated the Father's law. Had it been possible for the law to be changed then Christ need not have died, but to abrog the law would be immortalized transgression and place the world under Satan's control.
The word is abrogate. Abrogated.
Mm-hmm. Is there a definition for it?
I'll place it in the room there, sister.
Thank you.
Abrogate means to do away with.
Okay, thank you.
The Desire of Ages, page 762, continuing. It was because the law was changeless, because man could be saved only through obedience to its precepts, that Jesus was lifted up on the cross. That the very means by which Christ established by the law of Satan represented as destroying it. Here will come the last conflict of the great controversy between Christ and Satan. And it says in the bottom on the left, the justice, the moral excellence of the law must be maintained and vindicated before the heavenly universe. And that holy law could not be maintained at any small price than the death of the Son of God. Review and Herald, November 15th, 1898, paragraph 3.
Continuing, The Desire of Ages, page 763. That the law which was spoken by God's own voice is faulty. That some specification has been set aside. Is the claim which Satan now puts forward. It is the last great deception, and that he will bring upon the world. He needs not to assail the whole law. If he can lead men to disregard one precept, his purpose is gained. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend it in one point, he is guilty of all. James chapter 2, verse 10, and continuing on the next slide, please.
Continuing by consenting to break one precept, men brought under Satan, men are brought under Satan's power by substituting human law for God's law. Satan will seek to control the world foretold in prophecy of the great apostate power, which is the representative of Satan. It is declared he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand. Daniel 7:25, the Desire of Ages, page 762, paragraph 1.
And on the slide, it says Satan has been persevering and untiring in his efforts to persecute the work he began in heaven, to change the law of God. He has succeeded in making the world believe the theory he presented in heaven before his fall, that the law of God was faulty and needed revising. Margin, and that's from Second Selected Message, page 107, paragraph 2. And on the bottom right-hand side of the slide, there's a Catholic record of London, Ontario, September 1st, 1923. Sunday is our, and this is inserted by the Vatican's mark of authority. The Church is above the Bible, and this transference of Sabbath from Saturday observance is proof of that fact. And then from the Converts Catechism of Catholic Doctrine, and I think this is 50, we observe Sunday instead of Saturday because the Catholic Church in the Council of Laodicea, AD 336, transferred the solemnity from Saturday to Sunday. Amen.
The Desire of Ages, page 763. Man will surely set up their laws
to work
the laws of God. They will seek to
compel
the
consciences
of each other,
of others, mm-hmm.
And in their
zeal
to
enforce these
laws, they will
oppress
their fellow men. The desire of ages, page 763, paragraph 2. The
warfare.
Warfare.
Against.
Against God's law, which was begun in heaven, will be counted.
Continued.
Until the end of time. Next slide, please.
The desire is page 763. Every man will be tested. Obedience or disobedience is a question to be decided by the whole world. All will be called to choose between the law of God and the laws of men. Here, the dividing line will be drawn. There will be but two classes. Every character will be fully developed, and all will show whether they have chosen the side of loyalty or that of rebellion. Desire of Ages, page 763, paragraph 3.
Desire of Ages, page 763. Then the end will come. God will vindicate his law and deliver his people. Satan and all who have joined him in rebellion will be cut off. Sin and sinners will perish. Root and branch, Malachi chapter 4, verse 1. Satan, the root, and his followers, the branches. The word will be fulfilled to the prince of evil. Next slide.
On the side, it says, Psalm 37:20, King James Version, but the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke away. The smoke shall they consume away. And in Psalm 19, verse 16, King James Version, it says, the Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Margin.
Thank you so much, dear brothers. Thank you so much, Brother Day. We are in the Desire Ages. We're in page 763. Who would like to take the next paragraph here once? May you unmute your mic.
Continuing. We're reading on Desire of Ages. Page 763. Because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Then the wicked shall not be, yea. Thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. They shall be as though they had not been. Ezekiel 28:6-19, Psalms 37:10, Obadiah 16. Desire of Ages, page 763, paragraph 4. And on the side, if I can see it. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stone of fire. Ezekiel 28:14, King James Version, and on the bottom it says, Psalms 37:10. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be, yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And let us consider our scripture, a memory verse song, taken from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, King James Version. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you for reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So what have we learned and ways we have grown? Welcome to all the precious family that are just joining us. We are going to review the 6 questions that we have left reserved from last Sabbath service. And we're going to read it out so those that are not able to see the screen can be able to hear. And if you're moved to share, dear ones, you may unmute your mic to do so. The first one is, who is the main character or characters? Number 2, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number 3, where did the story take place? Number 4, when did the story begin? Number 5, how could you relate to the story? And the last one is, what did you learn from this lesson? If you are able to type it, or if you are not able, you can use the mic. And dear ones, even if we don't have enough time to review your questions, we have question and answer today, and you will have the freedom to do so. Who would like to take number 1, dear ones?
The answer for number 1 is Lucifer.
The answer to question 2 was the main idea for the section of our story, Satan tricking man to think in God's law is evil. The 3, where did the story take place? Most likely still on Calvary or Golgotha.
For number 4, when did the story begin? So this section of the story, as we have been seeing, this started in Lucifer's heart, and we know that he was in heaven, and he basically tricked one third of the angels. And we see that it continued on upon earth when Christ was crucified.
My answer to question 5, how can you relate to the story? The enemy will do anything he can to make people turn against God. I bet he was hoping that the more people he could tell that, that God's law is unjust and goes against everything that is right, that's how he can be able to have them have second thoughts and not want to follow God at all. Also, they can be under his control. God already shows that his law means love and liberty for all. Although some like us will follow it because we know it's the truth, others will just have their doubts.
For number 6, what did you learn from this lesson? From this lesson,
for me, it definitely drove home the importance of knowing something, and in this case is knowing God for yourself, so that you or me or any one of us will not be easily deceived, because we may not see someone's intentions or know their true motive of why something is said or why it's being done. But if we know of a principle, if we know it is just because it is, that it cannot be changed, then we know that's what we have to hold on to. So this is very important to me, and is something that I'll try to instill into my children as well, for them to understand, to be a leader in this sense and not a follower, and not to be led astray by anyone or any saying. The more they know and the more they study for themselves, the more they have a relationship and connection with the Lord, the more they be able to stand firm in their conviction and what the Lord has impressed upon their mind and their hearts. And that is what I am learning from this lesson.
Amen. One thing that I have been learning and being more convicted of is that Lucifer's argument was that the law of God was faulty and it needed to be changed. So when that idea spread throughout heaven, you had two groups of angels forming. Those that chose to remain faithful to God because they loved him and thus they would keep his commandments, versus those that chose to follow Lucifer or Satan and they loved him and kept his rebellious ideas. So then Lucifer brought the same argument down to this earth, is that God's commandments were faulty and they needed to be changed. And so each of humanity are having to make that decision whether they're going to love God and keep his commandments because they allow it to be written in their heart, versus those who love the devil and allow his rebellion to be written in their heart. So there will be no middle ground. Every person will make that decision for God or for Lucifer.
Amen. And I'm going to piggyback on both comment, but I want to take it back. I want to take it back as far as... Let me just, from the very beginning, we are now able to see how Lucifer was born in his heart. Lucifer was the one that was a light bearer, and he used to be standing before the throne. But then Satan, when he went against the character of God, he went against the law of God, which is the law of love. Satan was the one that was created in him. So Lucifer is when he was in harmony with the Lord. But then when he started to be able to refuse the law of love, which is the Ten Commandments, he also was refusing the reflection of that law by the relationship that he had with his son. Because the same character that the Father have, also the Holy Spirit, also everybody that was in heaven, they were actually governed by that law. And if you notice here, and this is one of the things then that had really touched my heart, a lot of people take the Ten Commandments as being something that is harsh. But in reality, it is love. If you see all of the commandments, is what guards protection for family, society. Basically, it is the edge that protects the whole universe and as well as this earth. If you remove the law, you can see the chaos that happens. It doesn't protect home, family, or society. So that mercy that the Lord has is by making the way that even though that we had fell, we are able to be reconciled back with God through His Son by taking the same law and rehearsing here in man's flesh. We are able to see through the Son of God that it could be done. But we know that it has to be a power from on high because we are in this sinful nature. And the Word of God tells us that there's a law in our mind that warring against the law in our flesh. So by surrendering our will to God, we need to be able to ask the Lord to give us the strength and the grace. Because truly, the life of His Son was one of the examples that what Lucifer claimed could never be done, it could be done, and He is our full example. I just wanted to touch something else here. We know that who's responsible for changing the law, as the Lord was saying in Daniel 7:25. But even though that the foundation of the change of this precept that was changed by the Roman Empire and also the Pope by changing the law, I just want to touch upon this one too. Even though that the Pope was responsible for the changes of God's law, here the Protestant also changed. They had the Word of God to be able to test to see if what was being said to them was right or wrong. But if you notice, they also started a new change when they said that it was do away with and that the day that they supposed to be worshiped on Sunday, it was because of the resurrection. So as you can see, they were also at fault besides the person that changed the law. I just wanted to share that. And I hope by God's grace, I was kind of understood. If there's any way that you may not understand what I just said, maybe I could repeat it. And that's what I wanted to share.
Titi Gracie, I think you were going to say something before.
Oh, yes. I was just like learning and learn of deception. And so as I was looking at deception, in the terms of the way how it was presented in the lesson, in that it is Satan's, mission to just to, for us to be faulty in one, in just one thing. So, a person might think that they're okay because they're keeping most of all of the laws, but if they miss in one, then they're gonna miss all. And so deception to me is like a cake because it's very beautiful and also tastes really, really good as I like cake. But it has no nutrient and it's just all sugar and you get nothing from that and the fact that you can just get a lot of disease actually if you continue eating that way. But a salad is also beautiful with all the colors in the world that you can put there and it is very nutritious and what your body needs. So deception is very cunning. So in one little aspect, it might look correct, but in actually, it is not.
I want to add a little to this also too, and it's going back to the beauty of God's law in a way in which, you know, my mind, I see it too, from His Word too. I see the law of God. It is very beautiful. And it really is like a protecting fence all around us. And I believe that even in heaven, a way of love to protect us and to keep us and keep those in heaven guarded from these things that may come to pass, which actually did pass through Lucifer, who became Satan. And I believe that it is just as beautiful and powerful and necessary for us today. And we cannot do without one of them. It really is like a protecting wall. And I believe that there is a scripture somewhere, I'm not sure, someone can help me, that speaks of the law of God that says that those who do them will live by them, or keep it will live by them. And I believe that that life is in Christ also, because if you break one, you break them all. We know in 1 John 3:4 that sin is a transgression or breaking of the law. And there's no way that we can be protected except by God giving us strength to keep it. It's just a really beautiful, it really is love. It's just a really, it's a really beautiful and complete, complete set of commandments that all the thousands and thousands of laws that mankind can come up with in the various societies around the world, they cannot even come close to the beauty and perfection, simplicity of God's perfect law. They just can't do it. And they wind up really repeating themselves time and again. Everything is already summed up in God's beautiful law. So I guess that's what I got out of it too, is the protection and the comfort that really is in it by doing it.
Amen. I just wanted to add one last point. I know we have question and answer, but it was impressed upon my heart today as Joshua was giving the examples of the 7 principles that's in the Lord's Prayer. And so as he was explaining that to us, I was impressed upon my heart, just as how that that Our Father prayer is a complete prayer because it has those 7 principles. It brought me to the 10 commandments, which is the completeness of it. It's the law and the testimony. It is love. And in nowhere does it have self. In nowhere does it say it's just for me or it's just for you. We see in the 7 principles, it shows what it's supposed to do. It shows who's governing. It shows who's thing. It is so beautiful.
It really
is. And that revelation came to my heart this morning as dear brother Josh was sharing that. And even in the 10 commandments, we saw the 4 gives to God. It is, if you look at it, the order of it all is so perfect. It is,
it really is.
The law of the Lord is perfect,
converting
soul. And I just wanted to share what the Lord just impressed upon my heart by sharing those 2 things.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And the scripture and the chapter where it came from is in the book of Psalms. Psalms 19. And the verse that our dear brother was trying to share is verse 11. Moreover, by them in thy servant warn, and in keeping them there is great reward. And I'm going to just share that scripture song. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimonies of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired than gold, yet them on fine gold. Sweeter also than a honey, and the honeycomb. The statutes of the Lord arise, rejoice in the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlighten the eye.
eyes. Won't you be desired, dead and gorgeous, and marsh fire? Go, sweeter also than a honey, and the honeycomb. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired than gorgeous and much fine gold, sweeter also than a honey. Honey and the honeycomb, more abiding is thy servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. And in keeping them, there is great reward. Well, dear ones, we are going to share thoughts and favorite poem and also special music. Welcome to all of the dear brethren that are coming in. Our thought is taken from the devotional book from the Spirit of Prophecy called Lift Them Up, entitled Sympathy to All, and that will be page 90, paragraphs 2 through 7. And the opening scripture to our reading is taken from Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3, and it reads, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to give unto the beauty." Sorry, let me just read it again. I was singing the song in my mind, forgive me. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear one? May you unmute your mind.
Christ was a close observer, noticing many things that others slipped by. He was ever helpful, ever ready to speak words of hope and sympathy to the discouraged and the bereaved. He allowed the crowd to press round him and complain not, though sometimes almost lifted off his feet. When he met a funeral, he did not pass by indifferently. Sadness came over his face as he looked upon death, and he wept with the mourners.
Continuing, as the children gathered the wildflowers growing so abundantly around them and crowded up to present to him their little offerings, he received them gladly, smiled upon them, and expressed his joy at seeing so many varieties of flowers. Lift Him Up, page 90, paragraph 3. And continuing, these children were his heritage. He knew that he had come to ransom them from the enemy by dying on the cross of Calvary. He spoke words to them that ever after they carried into their hearts, They were delighted to think that he appreciated their gifts and spoke so lovingly to them. Lift Him Up, page 90, paragraph 4. Amen.
Christ watched children at their play and often expressed his approval when they gained an innocent victory over something they were determined to do. He sang to children in sweet and blessed words. They knew that he loved them. He never frowned on them. He shared childish joys and sorrows. Often he would gather flowers, and after pointing out their beauties to the children, he would leave them with them as a gift. He had made the flowers, and he delighted to point out their beauties. The Lift Him Up, pages 90, paragraph 5.
It has been said that Jesus never smiled. This is not correct. A child, in its innocence and purity, called forth from his lips joyous songs. Lift Him Up, page 90, paragraph 6.
To those who followed him, he explained the word of God so clearly that they loved to be in his company. He led their minds from the inferior things of earth to the holy principles of truth and righteousness. He prepared them to understand what is comprehended in transformation of character after the divine similitude. His words encouraged faith. He carried the minds of his hearers from this world with his busy cares to the higher, nobler world which so many had lost sight of. He showed that every moment of life is fraught with eternal significance. He declared that the things of this world are of minor importance in comparison with the things of the world to come. From Manuscript 20, 1902, and Lift Him Up, page 90, paragraph 7. Amen.
Amen. Before we hear that beautiful scripture song, we are going to read the poem. It's entitled Encouragement for Little Children. This is taken from Children Activity Book Year 3, Quarter 3, Lesson 10, from page 250 from the Sunlight Education Ministry Homeschooling from the Bible. Who would like to take the first one, dear ones? May you unmute your mind.
Number one, God is good. God is so good that he will hear whatever children humbly pray. He always lends a gracious ear to what the youngest child can say.
His own most holy book declares he encourages children kind. He lovingly condescends to own a good, meek, and lowly mind.
This is an offering we may bring, however small our store. The poorest child, the greatest king, can give him nothing more.
Amen. So the opening scripture is a scripture song, and this one is the special music we're going to have, taken from our lesson book, The Desire of All Ages, Volume 1, King James, with margin.
The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted,
to proclaim
liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God,
to comfort
all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them that mourn
beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called
Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted,
to proclaim
liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God.
Isaiah
chapter 61, verses 1 through 3.
Dear ones, we are going to hold our testimony. If you have anything to be able to share during our meeting of the question and answer, we kind of went over a little. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, dear ones, we will continue with part 5 of our chapter 79 entitled, It is Finished, and that will take place. That's a typo, dear one. Forgive me. It will be April 13, 2024. That will be a lesson 406. And if any one of the dear ones, little ones or mommies or daddies or even our guests would like to close our family review with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
May we bow our heads and our knees. Dear Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most and holy name. We thank you, dear Father, for this blessed Sabbath day. We thank you for all the blessings that you have poured upon us, the opportunity to read and learn your word and to learn about you. Father Jesus, we thank you for your mercy, for taking our space on the cross and for dying for us. Be with us as we move on. Be with the children. Bless them and keep them. Continue to have them grow in your word and also in their reading. Be with the parents. Be with us as we go to the next section of the studies. Continue to bless us, Father Jesus, I pray. Continue to be with the ones that are not feeling well today. I pray that you provide relief and if they're in any pain or anything. Bless and keep us, I pray, for the rest of the Sabbath day, in no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen. May you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones, and God bless.